Pretend we were still having the last conversation, and then it was
like the universe's way of telling me to stop being gauche. What do you think you're doing, asshole? Talking about how great your podcast is with your podcast co-host, just sitting there talking about how great you guys are.
Oh Lord! Well, I guess
didn't
one thing
see
I wanted
the email
to say
from that one guy who said you don't know shit about Star Wars. The universe.
He doesn't think we're harping on him, because I did honestly love that email.
I love the fact that, number one, we have people who are listening, that are interacting, and I, you know, like I said, I've been putting my thoughts out there on the interwebs for quite some time. I'm no stranger mm-hmm. to having people tell me that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Which we joked about it, but if you want to send comments and complaints and you don't want to send it out to the ether on YouTube, even though I do read all your comments, I just don't comment because I feel awkward about it. Send me an email at Gilderthalen, or no, that's Twitter, gilderthalen@gmail.com, and say whatever you want. I'm not going to promise a response, because if we get a whole bunch of people, I just don't have time for it. But if you're entertaining enough, you might get one.
Yeah, and if you have any complaints about the stuff that I'm saying, just send them to gilderthalen@gmail.com.
Send them to me. I'll highlight the best ones. See, now I say that, and the next episode I'm going to be all somber and be like, guys, yeah, I was just really bothered by all the emails we got. But anyway.
We could do that I don't think we're going to get very much hate mail, but, and not saying that email is hate mail, but if we could get a best of the complaints, that would be hilarious. We'd do a whole episode.
Real quick, and now we're going to go into, like, gender and whatever. It has happened a couple times where people, like, talk to me, and it either comes out very bluntly, where they just straight out say it, or it slowly, like, tries to go that direction, where people will flirt with me, or try to, like, ask to be, like, for something, you know, romantic-wise. Well, I shouldn't say romantic.
They want to be
sexual-wise. Yeah, they don't want to be BFF. They want a little bit more. If I get a single dick pic, I am going to tweet it out with your name and email. That is a promise. If I get a single dick pic, I am going to publish your email or Twitter handle or whatever. That is a promise. It is going to happen. I'm just saying. I dare you. I don't actually.
I have so much more faith in our listenership. God, please, nobody do that.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I would not be happy about it. But I'm just saying, like, that is forever going to be, if I get anything overtly sexual asking me to send pictures of my bobs, it's going to get tweeted out. I'm going to publicly shame you. Okay. Anyway.
Also, I just want to state, you know, in the interest of equality, I don't want any dick pics either, just in case anybody's confused about that. I don't want any dick pics.
I would laugh pretty hard if I got a dick pic saying, like, listen, Katie, I'm really sorry I had to send this to you, but could you pass this off to June? Because that's who I really want.
Can you forward this to him? I think he knows a lot about Star Wars, and I just think he's the best. Can I just send this to him?
I even dressed up my cock like a stormtrooper. I thought he'd appreciate it.
Oh, man.
Okay. Well this kind of works out.
We wanted to be YouTube famous. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, well, speaking of romance.
That's the best segue in 10 episodes. That's the best segue ever.
It's the only good one I've ever done. Give this to me, guys. Anyway. Again, coughing in the mic. So this week, we went, because it's the month of love. Sorry, everyone who's single out there. But we wanted to go over a couple of romance topics. I don't want this to be more of like a, you know, top five romance or whatever. So we're not really going to be going over specific romances in a sense, and more just like the topic of romance in BioWare games as a whole. So where would you, I have a couple topic lists that I emailed to you. I don't know which one you want to start with or what.
I mean, I guess we could start with the most generic thing first and then we'll work our way to some of the more interesting stuff. But for best romance slash race for the game.
I think both of us, at least since I'm more Dragon Age related, I don't know if we want to focus on Dragon Age right now, because I don't think I could have a good conversation about Mass Effect because I just don't know it that well. Maybe you can relate back to that because I think you've played the game. I've only played through the entire series once, and I think you've done more than that, right?
Yeah, no, like it's I don't know. I don't know if I'm up to a dozen playthroughs yet, but something like that.
Okay, so if there's any Mass Effect talk, it's on you, Jordan. You have to be the MVP here for Mass Effect.
I'm the real MVP for Mass Effect, but for Dragon Age, do you have a particular? Do you lean one way or another, romance wise, as far as the races?
I think that. One reason I think it's interesting to talk about what do you think is the personal best romance slash race for that romance in the game minus two, because it's always human, is just like, I think we have to define what makes the best romance. And I think what makes the best romance to me is it complements the story. Like, I think for Origins, like, even though I like Alistair, I think Morrigan is the best romance for the game. Because it's more related to the story. It's interesting with the whole knock her up or die, essentially. And it relates on to the series later on. So I think with that, I preferred romancing her with the Kuslin, because if you go into the lore or whatever, there is some connection with the Kuslin family in Flemeth, and I thought that was interesting. Fun facts. So, actually, I think it's like High Ever, technically, in the Flemeth, not Kuslin family, but whatever.
I always thought it was really interesting as well if you do Kuslin romance, and I actually made a video about this. So if you do the Kuslin romance with Morrigan, Kieran is then your son, but then you can also become the king consort, prince consort. You can marry Anora, but you have a child with Morrigan.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought that technically speaking means Kieran is an heir to the throne.
I don't think they actually technically get married, though, right? Or does Anora and Kuslin get married? I thought they were just engaged. Maybe I'm wrong, though.
That might be a good question. Like, do we actually see a wedding in the game? No, I guess we don't, right?
I don't remember one. Now, I did actually play through that world state because I wanted to do that, but I can't remember a wedding. I think you do. So they have that, like, pre-rendered cutscene where you see Anora and Alistair get married, but they don't have a similar one, I think, for your Kuslin and her.
No, but you know what? I don't know if they actually show a wedding, but I know that in... Oh, my God, I'm spacing on the DLC. The major DLC that's post-campaign.
Awakening?
Awakening. She goes to visit you if you're the Warden Commander, mm-hmm. also the King Consort, and you refer to her as wife.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Okay. I will take your word for it because it's been a while.
Yeah, she says something like "dear husband" or something like that, and so clearly indicates you're married.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so then yeah, that would make him the heir then, which you could say the same thing for just making Alistair.
Yes, same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, so I think that's what is anything that brings on the most lore implications, I think, is what makes the best romance in the game. So in that regard, I think for two, I think Anders is the most interesting because of the whole, you know, exploding a chantry. Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting. And then in Inquisition, I would say Solas. And then obviously there's only one race for Solas. So that's kind of my rundown of what I think is the most interesting story wise.
So, you know, and this is, it's always somewhat unfortunate when we agree completely, but I think I almost agree with you completely on this. And Anders especially is one where I really feel like romancing Anders is one of the best. If you've never done it in Dragon Age 2, you should really do it. Cause especially the way it's not just a climax for him. It's the fact that because he's, possessed or joined with, the spirit of justice, like his decay and the way that he kind of starts to fall apart. Throughout the game is really, really interesting to watch, especially if you're doing a romance playthrough with Anders.
It did feel more emotionally impactful because, like, I romanced Anders the second time I played. I romanced Fenris the first one. The first one, I was like, damn, Anders, what'd you do? The second time, I was like, holy shit. I don't know, I felt like, oh, God, could I have done something? You know, like this was someone so important to me, so close to me. Did I fail? And I had that kind of reaction to it. So, which, on that, people who are dating someone with mental illnesses, you can't fix that. That's not your job. Anyway, point is, so I guess on that, I think what has made BioWare games, specifically Dragon Age, so popular is the romances. So why are they so popular?
I think some part of it is when a romance is designed really well. I think overall it has to do with design. Mm-hmm. And that agency within video games is probably the most unique aspect of a video game as opposed to other media, is that you can actually have the ability to interact with characters and change the story and how the outcome unfolds. But when you give someone the ability to then influence characters, even in a platonic sense, even in the friendships that are built with party members in BioWare games, mm-hmm. that starts to feel really special. When you introduce the element of romance to it, I think it becomes even more special, despite the cheesiness of it, despite the kind of, like, you know, it feels somewhat silly because it's a bit pantomime in how it's depicted. It's not always the most naturalistic thing that's being shown, but there's that level of agency that you have, and it's giving you a space to sort of play in, so to speak, with subject matter that is not usually treated as play. You're given mechanics for romances. You're given a set number of options, and you can experiment and play within this space of you know, story-wise, and the way it's written, it's romantic subtext, it's romantic content. I just think there's something engaging about giving people a space to play, so to speak, with romances. That's a more sterile answer. It's not like an emotional answer, but that's kind of how I key into it, because I never approached, you know, having a video game girlfriend, so to speak, from an emotional standpoint. I just thought, oh, this is interesting. So I can pick these dialogue options and you know, whatever, Bastila kind of starts to like me. Like, you go back to mm-hmm. KOTOR, some of the early stuff, and it's like, oh, this is interesting. So how do I win this little mini game, so to speak? And then, you know, and then the complexity and the nuance starts to increase in subsequent BioWare games. And then you start to think, oh, okay, this is quite interesting. You know, I can really support Meryl in everything that she does in Dragon Age 2, but, like, maybe that's not such a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you shouldn't be agreeing with everything that the character is wanting to do, even if you're trying to romance them. That's bad for them. You mm-hmm. know, it's bad for the people around them. And so more complexity, more nuance, it starts to become even more satisfying to say, how should I best approach this? And I think the more and more it gets closer to, how do I put this? The more and more it gets closer to actually being able to teach people lessons through play that might, dare I say, even be applicable to real life, I think that becomes even more satisfying.
I think that's a perfect answer, and I have nothing more to add to that other than I agree for the most part. But I think that's also why, like, like, romance novels are so popular, because it kind of gets that same feeling to it. And I sometimes, with what you said, it really rung true for me. Like, to get kind of personal, I dated only one person, and I'm now married to them. I have no experience with a breakup or anything really dramatic for the most part, because our relationship just worked out really well. So, like, getting this play between, like, what different romances are like has kind of been like, oh, there are, like, romances go different ways. Relationships are different between two different people. If for some reason my husband dies and I date someone else, that relationship will be completely different than what I have right now. I think that because harken back to the gender episode where we talk about the demographics, like, it's Dragon Age, at least the subreddit, is really popular with kind of, like, the young adult people who are going into really relationships for the first time. And I think, yeah, exactly, this gives you kind of a safe space to get to practice and kind of see what type of relationships are like. And, like, I have read stories on the Dragon Age subreddit of people who were perhaps they were struggling with their sexual identity, and playing a BioWare game is like, oh, I can only see myself dating Dorian, I can only see myself dating Sarah, rather than any of the other, you know, opposite gender romances. Perhaps this says something about me. It gives you a safe space to experiment in those kind of things, which I think is great. And I honestly, I can't really think of any other video games that sort of do that aside like those, I'm going to call them trash, those like anime ones that are like really only targeted to like, you know, people that like anime and like those cutesy weird ones. I'm reminded of Sakura Spirit, if you've heard of that one from Game Grumps, but that's a whole nother story.
So I do want to ask somewhat of a serious question, because I think something about this question might strike people as being almost like ridiculing. But from a serious standpoint, do you think there are people out there that are lonely that come to a romance aspect of Mass Effect, or even, like I said, even just the platonic relationships of Mass Effect? Do you think that that's something that is actually a draw to certain people out there?
I would definitely say so. Like, I, while I currently am not lonely in love, little old 17-year-old Katie was dying, and I would, had I been 17 years old and Dragon Age, any of the Dragon Age games were out, I would have loved them, and that would, like, I do not subscribe to the, like, Alistair is my husbando type of thing, but I get it. Like, the even if it's fake, just kind of hearing the words like I love you and like I care about you, you mean the most important thing to me, is so powerful. And like, even if you just for a little bit kind of sit inside your computer, project yourself onto this person you're playing and hear those words, it can be, I don't want to say fulfilling, because it's technically not, but it, like, for that little bit, it's all right. I would almost liken it to like kind of a drug that endorphins, there's a word there. What's the drug in your brain that makes you happy? I'm blanking.
Well, there's serotonin, there's dopamine, there's...
Dopamine, that's the one I wanted. Dopamine. It gives that little dopamine rush of, like, that little bit of excitement, you know? And some people just don't have that. Like, there are some people that, like, if it was me as a 17-year-old, like, hearing Alistair tell me that he loves me would have been the first time anyone has said that. And I would have been like, you know, like, a little bit giddy. And, like, I like you said, I don't want to ridicule those people, because, like, that's just the reality. There's a lot of lonely people out there. And, like, that's okay. And I think this is a perfectly... Well, okay. It's perfectly healthy if you don't, like, get one of those, like, body pillows and, like, you don't actually... Like, what was the guy that, like, married his Game Boy or some bullshit like that? Like, there's a time and a place. Like, if you know in your head that, like, this isn't actually a relationship, you're fine. You can joke and you can pretend. You can poster your walls and Alistair or Dorian or whatever the fuck you want. That's fine. But when it crosses the line of, but I can't date anyone else because I'm cheating on this other thing. And I say thing because Alistair's not real.
Right.
Then it gets weird.
Well, I think it is. It's an interesting question. I actually wrote an article about this many years ago now, not long after the Citadel DLC had come out, because I thought that it was a remarkable demonstration of how technology could replicate, or how it could depict something that had so much complexity that it approaches sort of uncanny valley, but more for virtual relationships. Because if you actually think about the technology behind the save imports for the Mass Effect franchise, by the time you get to that Citadel Party DLC, I mean, you could have a significant number of people who are literally not alive in that party member or not. I mean, you could, there's chunks of people that could be alive or dead, that could be friends with you or not friends with you. You could have had one or multiple or no romances involved, you know, former lovers and current love interests and all these other things. And then different combinations of your party members interact with each other. So I thought it was a really interesting display of technology creating something that it's not real interaction, but the complexity is getting so good that it starts to make you wonder, you know, does the benefit of this become real enough that we should stop thinking of it as a joke? Because I think that there is that tendency to say, well, someone is lonely, and so perhaps they're taking solace in this fictional virtual relationship, and so we should ridicule them or mock them. But I think that's more and more we would see that that's a mistake. I think technology is there to solve problems. And one of the problems that people have is, you know, lacking some sort of connection. Those are very real problems. Those are very real human needs. And so if technology has some way to help solve that problem, at least to assuage it partially, like you said, it's not a full replacement for actual human interaction, but if it can help reduce some of that emotional pain for people, I think more and more people should take seriously the idea that some of these interactive virtual relationships should be taken, I think, as a serious way to, as a tool maybe, to help people realize what they're missing in their normal day-to-day interactions and maybe become more aware of it through something like this.
I'm quiet because now I'm just imagining my life as a therapist where I get to play video games with my clients. So that excites me a lot.
How great would that be?
Oh, I want it. That would be so cool. No, I can see. So I did not expect to bring up my job so much in this. I don't mean to because I feel like I'm bragging. I don't want to do that, but I feel like it is fitting here. Like one of the number one ways that people come in and have problems is that they're not talking to each other. And that we say that all the time. Like, if you just learn how to communicate, fine. Like, you never need to go to a therapist. It's fine. Or, well, for relationship issues, because that's mostly what I do. Not, like, mental issues. Anyway, point is, the number one thing that most people have trouble with is just communicating to their partner what they want and what they need or what the partner's doing wrong. If you can learn how to do that, you can actually get through a lot of things. If you could use a video game to help practice and develop those skills, or even to see like, oh, this is how I lack in those skills, could be super helpful, because one of the hardest things to do is to come up to someone and say, hey, you know, you're in a loving relationship with your wife and whatever, your husband, you're being a complete dick to them, you asshole. You can't say that, you know, like you can't tell people they're doing something wrong. You have to like just gently hold up the mirror and get them to notice what they're doing, because if you tell them outright, they're either going to get offended or just not believe you. So in a video game, if you can like somehow maybe like put in some boop boops and calculations, and the person gets to be in a relationship essentially with what they're doing, maybe they'd be able to see what they're doing. I don't know. I can see a whole bunch of like, if this done correctly, this could actually be really useful. And maybe that's even what a Dragon Age kind of does in a little sense, where you can see like, oh, well, let's say Fenris, like, oh, I slept with someone and then I left in the middle of the night, you know, like, I don't know who does that. Maybe that's happened. And then like after playing that Fenris romance, you're like, man, that was kind of a dick to do. Like I was having a hard time. Like I was rightfully scared and I ran away, but then to just end it without saying anything, that obviously hurt the partner I was with, where before maybe they were just so focused on their own issues.
No, I think the closer and closer that they get to depicting and giving the player the opportunity to interact in situations that could be taken as something that you could learn a lesson from and then take that to your real life, the better off they get. And I don't think it's grandiose or, or an exaggeration, to say that video games can do that and that they should do that. I think storytelling as a whole has a responsibility to show us macro level truths. That's what I think of when I think of storytelling, is that stories are essentially like dreams. They're the distillation of truth that you can't reckon with in your awakening life. That's why dreams have symbolism. That's why stories have archetypes and symbols, is that story is meant to show you macro level truth that you wouldn't necessarily absorb from your day-to-day life. I think that video games are especially appealing because they give you agency within a story, and that's even better. So within any of the relationships, whether they're romantic or even with the friendship relationships that you have in video games, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility to say that developers and writers who are making these games should be making them with a mind to help people learn things that might make them better people. I know that sounds kind of ambitious, but I think that that should be the goal. One of the best instances, I think, in Dragon Age, it's not even necessarily, it's not exclusively related to romance, although it could be, is with Alistair, the decision to have a hardened Alistair or not. That is one of the best instances of party member interaction, I think, in any BioWare game ever, because it's so damn counterintuitive. It feels like you're being really mean to him in the moment, but then you realize what the ramifications are of not getting him to toughen the hell up. I mean, you can do it with a non-hardened Alistair, but it's interesting the short term. It seems like a negative reaction, but in the long term, it ends up being better for him.
Yeah, I completely agree. And when we were starting the sentence, I was like, oh, but what about Liliana? But Liliana's is a whole lot different. Her hardening process is more like, do you want to be religious or do you want to kill people? Like, I think it's a completely different scenario almost. And I'm simplifying a little bit. But yeah, the Alistair, like, it has that, like you said, like, I always feel bad hardening him, even though I do it every time, so I can don't get him to break up with me. You do have to basically say, like, toughen up, Buttercup. And, like, I think sometimes a lot of people need to hear that. And that's, yeah, it's one of those things where you get to practice in-game, and you can say, like, oh, maybe it's not okay to coddle all the time. Sometimes people do need those hard truths. And something I also want to bring up, conflict in romances, I think, is a great thing that what we mentioned earlier, but the best romances for the game, all three of those romances have some point of conflict that I think is really great. And what is another reason, even though there's story stuff into it, each of them have that conflict that make it really interesting. With Morrigan, she just leaves you at one point and she's pregnant, you know, possibly. For Anders, he blows up a Chantry. He didn't tell you a goddamn thing. He even lied to you to plant a bomb in the chapel. And with Solas, he lies to you the entire time about who he is. And then he just leaves you without any explanation, you know? So I think that conflict in relationships is something that needs to be explored more, because conflict is the reality. You aren't going to marry someone and everything's all wonderful, happy. Like, I fight with my husband. I'm sure you fight with your girlfriend. Like, and that's okay. That's normal. That's perfect. I would love to see more conflicts in the romances, but then also things that get worked out. Because, like, unfortunately, like, with all, like, the Morrigan, the Anders, and the Solas, they don't really explore what the working out part of it is. With Morrigan, like, you just kind of reunite back in Witch Hunt, and then you're off, and then everything's okay at Inquisition. I would think in the reality, there would be a lot of hurt between whatever male you chose in Morrigan, because he's like, you left with my son. I miss you too. Like, are you going to leave again? Why did you leave in the first place? Did you not trust me? Like, there's a lot of hurt there. Same thing with, like, Anders, like the Anders romance. Holy shit. Like, that's a whole bunch right there. And then same thing with the Solas, which I think the Solas romance did a little bit better about exploring that hurt when you meet him again. So I think they're working in that direction, but especially in, like, Origins and 2, like, I would love to see a piece if we get to see more of, like, the Anders Hawk romance of, like, if they're still in a relationship, how did they work that out? I would love to see how they're able to work that out. Like, are they fighting? Is it kind of just like Hawk babysitting him? Is Anders even who he is anymore? Because the Justice thing just completely exploded his mind, even though Hawk's only known him with Justice. So technically, if Hawk were to pluck out Justice, would he still have feelings for this new person? Anders became a new person when he became one with Justice. So, like, that's something I would love to be explored. I don't think we'll get that. But I think in future games, they could have something like that. That'd be really interesting. And I think the conflicts and the romances are what makes a good romance. Whatever.
I think the lack of resolution for Anders as a character as a whole has always been one of the things that I've been holding out hope for. Because I think he's one of the best. I think he's one of the best characters in the entire franchise. I loved him when he was brought in during Awakenings and Origins, and I think in 2, he's one of the best characters in the game. I like extremes. I like seeing stories and characters get pushed to, and he's a great example of an extreme. Even if you don't agree with him, it's like, well, it's not about agreeing with him necessarily, but it's an interesting observation. It's interesting to look at him. And so I really wish that, especially for those that romanced him, they would find some resolution. Solas is a great opportunity. To do that. Solas is that opportunity where, depending on how they end up resolving that, especially for those that romance Solas, I think it could end up being one of the best aspects of Dragon Age 4. Wanted to talk about Mass Effect a little bit. I think that is one of the things that I enjoyed the most about Mass Effect 2 and 3, but still felt it could have been... I liked it, but I wanted more as far as whether or not you romanced Caden or Ashley in the first game. So if you romance Caden or Ashley in the first game in Mass Effect 2, they're not a part of your party because you are working with Cerberus and they're still with the Alliance. And so the one little interaction, or there's a couple of interactions, but the one main interaction you have with them, I believe it's on Horizon. And, you know, it can be pretty standoffish because it's just like, hey, what are you doing with Cerberus? Like, we fought against Cerberus in the first game. And
also, how are you alive?
So, burying the lead a little bit. First of all, how the hell are you alive? Why didn't you reach out to me? And what the hell are you doing with Cerberus? So that's pretty tense. And then if you go carry that into Mass Effect 3, especially if you romance someone else in Mass Effect 2, there's a good deal of complexity there in Mass Effect 3. It's like, okay, you're back with the Alliance. You were with Cerberus. You slept with Miranda or whoever in Mass Effect 2. Like, whoa. There's a lot of mistrust there. I don't think that they played the hurt aspect of it as much. Maybe you could just say that that's just not necessarily in Caden or Ashley's character, but there was a lot of mistrust, which I thought was appropriate. And what I really liked was you couldn't just get back with them, say, at the beginning of the game. It's not until like the midway or like past the midway point of Mass Effect 3 where you can actually sort of like get back together with your Mass Effect 1 romance, because that relationship needs to build back up slowly. And I really appreciated that that's how they went about it. My only request would have been, I actually would have liked more of those scenes and more of those interactions, because I just thought they were so good.
Yeah, I completely agree. Which I, on Mass Effect, because I think Mass Effect is the only instance of this happening, at least compared to Dragon Age, and I know everyone hates them, I wasn't fond either, the Jacob romance has an interesting conclusion, and that if you romance him in 2 and 3, he just dumps you.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work out. He, like, got some other girl... I don't know the storyline exactly, because I did not do it. I just watched it and was like, wow, that's kind of shitty. But it's interesting to think about that, like, it just didn't work out for whatever reason. He was like, I wanted a family. He got some other girl pregnant. I don't know. I don't know the storyline. I just know he leaves you. But I think that's a really interesting idea. It's like, if... Of all of the romances in like what you could do for BioWare games, all of the romances, they all work out in the end. Like, America has a 50% divorce rate. It's actually going down. But 50% divorce rate for the most part. You're telling me all of those relationships worked out? All of them?
Yeah.
All of them? Isabella?
Right? I mean, come on now.
She has commitments, which, granted, they do say it's not technically a relationship, it's an open relationship, so that's technically a whole nother thing. But, like, I'm trying to think. Like, no offense to Iron Bull, like, he was more open, he's more used to those open relationships, because he was raised in a society that didn't have, like, monogamous relationships. Is that not something he's going to have trouble with moving forward? Like...
Well, you know what is interesting is that there are instances of casual relationships not being able to be turned into full-blown committed relationships.
That's true.
PB, well, actually, so I know Jack obviously is probably the most well-known one in Mass Effect 2. You can sleep with Jack, and if you do that, there's no chance to enter into a committed relationship with her. I understand that that's supposed to be the case with PB in Andromeda, but I think there was a glitch that hadn't been patched yet where I got to basically hook up with her and have the committed relationship.
Nice. No, I don't like PBs. I don't care.
I think technically speaking, that's not possible. If you enter into having a casual sex relationship with PB, she won't go into a committed relationship with you. So I think, I did think as well, the first time I encountered that with Jack, I thought, bravo. I thought, well done. That's really interesting. And now I do think it's possible that the opposite could be true. Maybe you could end up hooking up with someone casually and then it turns into a relationship. That's fine also. But I thought, okay, that's interesting. That's an interesting constraint to throw at the player. I think it makes the gameplay more interesting. I think it makes the characters more interesting.
I'm trying to think of other instances where, just in my opinion, is there a romance I think wouldn't pan out very well? I would be interested to see how the Sarah romance develops as the character you play in her age. Because Sarah, we already see her have a decent change in her personality between Inquisition and Trespasser. How is that going to work out going forward? Now, granted, you and the Inquisitor, they could grow together, and so that's just something they do together, that's fine. But it would be interesting to see if you had if you perhaps played a more mature, I use air quotes here, Inquisitor that was like maybe older and was already set in their personality, would they still love a Sarah that had grown up to be more, I'm going to say stable, just because her personality is all over the place, you know? So that's something I'd be curious in.
One that, I mean, to me, it seems difficult to work out. I think I've only done it the one time, but Blackwall has got to be kind of tough, right? If you start to romance Blackwall early in the game and then you find out he's completely not the person that he says he is.
Yes. It's another thing I wanted to bring up that I forgot about until this moment is the differences between reactions of Solas and Blackwall. Pretty much the exact same story for the most part. Guy tells you he's someone, he's not who he says he is. He ended up, Blackwall murdered a family of small children, so we know the death count is whatever, and then he blamed it on his squad and he ran away. Solas ended an entire civilization and did who knows what else what. He's not even going to tell you. But at the same time, more people prefer the Solas romance to the Blackwall.
That's because Solas is magic.
Magic and probably, like, I'm gonna be honest, being that elven god probably has a lot to do with it. Power is sexy. So it's interesting to see that happen in game, that more people are willing to go for the powerful, mysterious, suave, well-spoken man who lies to you outright rather than the humble dude that really regrets his crime, believes he should have done something more, and like, he's still making mistakes, but he's honestly trying to be better. You know, like, he's honestly trying to be a better man. And if you complete the romance with him, you can actually help him work towards that. Where Solas is still about to be the villain in Dragon Age 4. And more people are into that. It's just interesting. And I say this as someone who prefers the Solas romance. So I get it. I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah, no, they're both tragic figures. And I think that's kind of what makes them both appealing. But I think it's the tragedy element of Solas that is so appealing, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, Solas is one of the most tragic characters, and when you romance him, it just becomes doubly tragic. And Blackwall, you're right, kind of has a more of a silver lining at the end of it, whereas Solas, at least as far as the story has been able to develop, still pretty tragic. Yeah, I've always liked Blackwall, though, as a character a lot. I've always liked his humility. It's kind of interesting, you're right. Like, Solas isn't really... Well, he's not remorseful really at all, almost. He's basically justifying everything he's done, whereas Blackwall is more of a simple man saying, obviously I know I've done terrible things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really interesting contrast between romances, because I feel like they're very similar, but then distinct in that, as you said, Blackwall is so much more remorseful.
Yeah, I would even argue that... I'm just going to use Lavellan here to help the if you romance Blackwall as a Lavellan, he loves you more than Solas probably does, because Solas is weighing, granted, a lot more lives versus yours, but he doesn't choose you. He chooses somebody else. Blackwall could have run away, could have whatever, but he wanted to be a better man because of you. Solas chose against that. And I think that should say something. I think overall, were I a real person as the Inquisition, I think I probably would have done the Blackwall romance, be really, really pissed off at him, but then would have stayed in it. Solas romance would have obviously break out with me. I'd be sad, go up to Trespasser and be like, oh, hell no. I'd be pissed.
That's a good point, but just it's that Dragon Age 4 potential for Solas. You have to have at least one file with Solas romance, because you just have to know what's going to go on in Dragon Age 4.
I, that's true. And like my canon Inquisitor is a Solas romance, because we haven't really brought it up and I don't really go too much into it, but I love the idea that what's the kind of the feeling of the Inquisitor with the Solas romance? Does she feel responsible to stay in a relationship with Solas because she feels like she's the only one that can save the world now because of her love? Is she forcing herself to stay in the Solas romance because she knows that only someone that, quote-unquote, Solas thinks that loves her, if that makes sense, can stop it? Because he's so powerful. She's seen so many things he could do. He's the Dreadwolf. He's whatever. The devil of her legend. Does she think she's the only one that could stop it, and therefore she's sacrificing her emotional livelihood to save the world? And I think that's an interesting concept.
You know what would be, and this is like me, I always like to... I don't know if there's just something about me that likes the tragic end or here's what I like. I like, particularly when it comes to romances, I like players' expectations being subverted.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most important realizations that one has in any sort of relationship, even in friendships, because I think we shouldn't just make it exclusively about romances, but in any relationship,
that's true.
You begin to realize some of the best things that you should do are a bit counterintuitive, kind of like the Alistair Hardening thing, going back to that.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, that's one of the hardest things to do, is to tell your friend that he needs to toughen the hell up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do if you have a friendship with someone, because they might get mad at you and decide they don't want to be friends with you anymore. You know, but it might be the best thing for them. And so I think when video games were kind of like, you know, like, again, if you go back to some of the early romances in like Knights of the Old Republic, it's really easy. Just be super nice to Bastila. Just be super nice to Karth. Like, you don't have to, it's not complex, really. Just be light side and just pick the happy option every time. And mm-hmm. then as BioWare games have progressed, it's gotten a little more complex. Like, maybe it's not agreeing with them all the time. And so that's very interesting. Some Obsidian games have done that really well also.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, so my one theory for Dragon Age 4 would be, like, how great would it be is if you are a soulless romancer and you try and come in and just be super loving and just, like, pursue the relationship and just do everything super lovey-dovey, like, that's what destroys the world, so to speak. Like, what you need to do is say, I am breaking up with you unless you stop this nonsense. Like, what you need to do is come in with a hard line and put a stop to it, even if it means ending the relationship. And that's the way to actually save Solas. Like, I know that would piss off a lot of players who try and take the first approach, but I would love it if they did something like that.
You know what? I fucking love that, number one. Two, I think that you have to look at, so let's say they do that, people get pissed. In my mind, a Llewellyn that goes in there, goes into Solas' romance or whatever, and tries to appease him, you don't really cherish Solas, you cherish the relationship. If you're sitting there trying to challenge him and saying, like, no, this is wrong, you are better than this, I challenge you to be better, that is what a real relationship is like, is challenging your significant other to be better, to be something that they can be, to see their full potential. That's what a real relationship is, and I think that would be a lot more interesting than the way to save the world and to save Solas is to be like, oh, Solas, I love you so much. You know, like, I really hope in the next game, because I do hope they show the Inquisitor and Solas relationship, because if not, I'm upset. Two, if they do show it, it's definitely played in that more like, Llewellyn isn't sad, she's angry. I would love that. Like, there's a right to be sad. I'm not saying sadness is a bad emotional response, but just sitting in there and, like, she's not mourning the relationship. She's mourning the man that she knows Solas could be and what he's currently becoming. That's what I want her to mourn. And I think those two things could make that completely different. Or it's a completely different reaction from the player. So.
No, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And when you say, like, that's what a real relationship is, I mean, mm-hmm. it's really one of the best things about a proper relationship, because realistically, like, how many people are going to be close enough to you to accurately but also sympathetically tell you what your flaws are?
Yes. And then also, they're not saying it in a mean way. They generally, genuinely want to help you,
right.
Want to better yourself. So not many people do that.
And like so. I said, it's a bit pie in the sky. Like, I've always had this all the way back to, I wrote extensively about sort of the effects of Tom Clancy games and Splinter Cell and how that got more nuanced and complex. And that I really felt that if you took military shooters and espionage games and you made the commentary more nuanced and not so much like, you know, kill Russians and Arabs, like you could actually and genuinely affect people's views on geopolitical issues across the world in a meaningful way. And I thought that they had a responsibility to do that. Mm-hmm. I really do think that if you treat romances and friendship relationships and role-playing games with this sort of authenticity, you could actually make a positive difference in the people that are playing them.
Yeah, because I think that social theory time, what if, because like in the past, any relationship is the game is be nice, be nice, be nice, get romance. Is that thing, why we see so many, I'm going to call them fuckboys in society right now. Maybe that's just kind of that's just how humans work and they expect that. But it may be because online you just see more nerds online. But people that play video games, there is more people that like, I've been nice to you, why don't you love me? Well, because that's not how this works. That's not what a relationship is.
Right.
You know? Oh, girls only like mean guys. Well, no. That's not true.
It's a bit more to it than that.
I'm harping on the fellas, but the girls do the same thing. Like, there's been plenty of girls that be like, I'm so nice, I do everything for him, and why doesn't he love me? Because that's not how it works, honey. Like, that's not what this is.
So we're already kind of on this topic, but what are some other ways you could think of, maybe that we kind of talked about this originally, I think a couple of episodes back, that's how we came up with the idea for this episode, but what are some other things that we haven't seen yet as far as romances not working out in BioWare games? What are some scenarios that you might like to see happen in future games?
I'm trying to think. So I almost want to just quickly say, like, some people are going to be like, oh, well, you see a bunch of relationships at your work that don't work out, right? I do, but I don't ever get to see the resolution of those because they stop coming. So I don't know what happens to a lot of people anyway. So I guess with that, I'm trying to, like, foresee what would happen in some cases. And I guess I would like to see kind of the more friendly breakup, if that makes sense, where you just kind of sit there and like kind of what I kind of mentioned with Sarah, if like the two people just grow apart and the one day they're just kind of sitting there like, we are just different, are we? And then they both just kind of have a conversation of like, this isn't working out and like, it sucks and we're having a sad time about it, and I'm not mad at you for changing, and can't be mad at myself for changing because we both need to do so, but we're just not compatible anymore and you just have to break up. It's because that's a reality that happens to some people. Not all breakups are angry and, you know, cheated on and whatever. Sometimes relationships just break up because they're just not right for people at that time, you know? So I'd like to see that. I generally would like to see someone has cheated on you. I guess that is Jacob, but kind of like, what does that look like to the player? Like, oh, they cheat on you. Do you take them back? Do you not? Do you think it would work out? I think that would be interesting. And like, maybe not in like the, maybe even in the scenario, you're the other woman or the other man where they cheated with you, if that makes sense. So, or even you start out a game with you in a relationship, kind of like how a Tabris does in Origins, where you do get married technically, but it, obviously your spouse dies. What would happen if you stayed married and they were with you on your adventure, but you're stuck into it? It's an arranged marriage. You don't really love them, but you do have that responsibility now. Would you stay with them? So that's something I would like to see, because some people, like, especially nowadays, well, not so much nowadays, but like the kind of the generation below us, it was more common. Like, if you got pregnant outside of marriage, you would just marry them.
Yeah, right.
So, and I think the Borgen romance is another interesting, like, if there's a kid involved, then how does that change it? Are you going to stay with each other for the kid? Because sometimes that's a disaster and should not be done. I don't know if it's appropriate for a BioWare game, but I think it would be interesting to kind of play around with the idea of what would happen if your significant other starts, like, I don't want to use the word abuse, but for physical abuse or sexual abuse, but more like maybe kind of scenario of like more verbal abuse that's very subtle and starts out slow, kind of like, you know, gaslighting people. Like, it's, again, not for BioWare, but like, would you be able to spot the fact that you're being abused by someone? Because a lot of people, like, when, you know, you, sometimes you'll meet these people out in the open and like someone's significant other will say, oh, you look like a fat cow, you bitch. And they'll just take it. And you go, why do they take it? I would leave them.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't see it. Sometimes it builds up so slowly. You don't even notice. And sometimes people have to sit there and be like, you're being abused by your significant other and they don't believe you. And sometimes you really have to say, no, really, they should not be saying those things. You do not deserve that. And it would be interesting to play around with that idea and the kind of like give more awareness to that. Again, I don't think this is appropriate for a BioWare game because we're just having a good time here, guys. We don't need this heavy stuff. But I think that would be interesting to maybe not for the player character, perhaps even like someone you're trying to romance, you're trying to break them up. That would be kind of interesting. But I don't know.
Those are all, first of all, those are all fantastic. I think I definitely want to see something like all of those. In particular, the friendly breakup. I think that would be really interesting to see. The abusive one as well. You're right. I don't know if they could go that heavy, but what a great... What a great idea to deal with in an interactive sense. Like, that would be really interesting. One of the ones that I thought of that is kind of open-ended, you could do this a bunch of different ways, but I think it's just, it's the most universal, or ironically enough, because you just mentioned earlier that you haven't experienced this, but it's like, generally speaking, the most universal experience in relationships is being broken up with and, and having to accept that. I mean, having to accept it. And I think it would be really, really interesting if there was a way to have a romance that maybe late in the game, like that character ends the relationship. And, you know, the way that we approach video games, it's like, well, you start looking up walkthroughs and you start going, what dialogue option did I pick wrong? Like, and then you slowly come to the realization that that character has gone on their own arc. They have been influenced by you in some sense, but they are their own person. And they are ending their relationship for whatever reason. They found someone else to be in a relationship with. They don't want to be in a relationship, et cetera, et cetera. And sort of forcing the player, you still give the player agency because you give the player the agency to choose how they're going to deal with that.
Oh, see, I wish we could have done that with Meryl. I would have loved to see Meryl have the agency to be like, I've changed because of you. And I have grown up to be my own person, and I just, this isn't working for some reason. I gotta go help my people. Goodbye. Because I think the Solace, even though he breaks up with you, there is that hope there. That if he didn't have these circumstances, he wouldn't be doing this. I would, again, like you said, have someone like, no matter the circumstances, it just ain't working out. Maybe they grew because of you or whatever, but it's just not working out. There is no hope there. It's done. You have to accept it.
See, my thing with Meryl, I was actually gonna mention this too. One of the other scenarios I was thinking of is a character that, a romance character that dies and there's no way to save them. And in this case, it wouldn't be no way to save her, but as much as I think Meryl has an interesting romance plot line, in a lot of ways I felt like they pulled a punch with having the keeper Marathari die. I really thought in a lot of ways it should have been Meryl. And you put that weight on the player for not having stopped her. And encouraging her and continuing to go along with the blood magic and everything else. I thought that would have been devastating to players, but it would have been a monumental moment to actually lay that at the feet of the player and say, you should have stopped her. You knew damn well this was going to go badly. So I think that's another potential thing that they could do in future games. But
yes,
just being broken up with, I think would be really interesting. I think especially if you could play it in such a way where if the player accepts it and moves on, potentially, I don't know, like you gain some sort of respect from your other crew members who are watching you do this. There's something, you know, you mitigate how bad that is. Whereas if you give the player the option to like not accept it, to really keep pursuing the person, and maybe they leave the party altogether because you can't let go, or something else bad happens because the player does not let go. And I think that would be a really interesting thing to, it would be interesting to see people's reactions. I'm sure a lot of people would be pissed off at it, but it would be a really powerful lesson to say, in certain instances, the most healthy thing for you to do for yourself is to let go.
I think taking that idea and then also growing upon it, what if there was a romance that you were the one where bad things were happening to you? Like, romancing this person actually worsens your cause. So you have to kind of grow up and like be the captain and be like, I love you, but because of this relationship, I'm doing my job poorly. And I guess kind of in the situation, be the Solace in a bit. I think that would be interesting, you know? Like, maybe, like it's just a very small choice in the game where you can either save your girlfriend or boyfriend or save the world. There is, you know, one or the other.
Yeah. So. Oh, that would be super interesting as well, especially if you could like really design out a way for it to affect gameplay in some sense. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a game like that exists where that like, well, you have to choose the girl or the story. And now I can't think, I feel like I've seen that somewhere and now I can't think of it. I don't know. Anyway, something that I also want to talk about is instead of thinking of ideas, romances in the BioWare series where the romance, we kind of touched upon this already, the romance that happened kind of took away from the character a little bit. And I honestly cannot, at this very moment, cannot think of an example other than Meryl. Because I think that if you don't romance Meryl, she kind of learns to grow on her own, which is super important for people. But if you're romancing her, then suddenly she relies very heavily on Hawk, which I think isn't great. So I think that the best choice for Meryl is to not romance her in a bit. Like, granted, I've only done the friendship romance. Maybe the rival romance is a little bit different, but I'm not sure. Do you think there's any other romances kind of like that in the game where the romance arc is actually the worst between that and the friendship?
I don't know. I don't know if there's anyone quite like Meryl, because I kind of agree. Meryl is an interesting, you're kind of enabling her in a lot of ways, which, again, I don't know what this says about me. I actually romance Meryl for that reason. I don't know what. No, but not in the sense of, like, in the sense that I'm not, in that case, I'm not identifying with my Hawk. I'm more like, I want to see this fucked up story happen. Does that make sense?
Okay.
It's like the same reason why I romance Solas. It's like, it's not necessarily that I am identifying with my Inquisitor at that point. It's more like, I want to watch this tragic story happen, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
The one romance that I've always found to be kind of odd, and some people love it. They just get, the Mass Effect fans get really mad when you question this romance. I just don't get the Garrus thing. People who romance Garrus, I'm like, Garrus just seems like your best bud, even when it's female Shepard. Like, Garrus just seems like a buddy. Like, he just seems like your best friend, like, no matter what. I just don't see the romance aspect.
I will say, a part of this is that I have not seen Garrus outside of the romance, because I only played it once and then romance Garrus. So I can't quite say what that looks like without it. But I my best friend is my husband, so I get that, you know? Like, it's something very relatable to me that, like, we were pretty good friends. Was it? No, somewhere I was talking about my love story with my husband, but it was not on camera. So the quick TLDR is that we met for, like, a week, and I fell head over heels for him, and he kissed me, and then I thought we were dating, because, again, first relationship, I didn't know. And then he's like, well, no. Slow down. This is going too fast. And so then we were just friends for 6 months. And that I kind of got to learn, like, what a relationship is like. A little bit of that, like, pining. I obviously have a crush on this guy, but we also became very close friends. Mm. And to this day, we are very close friends. So I guess I kind of got, like, a little bit of sense of that with the Garrus romance, is that we're friends first. And then it's kind of like we were searching for comfort in the space thing. We realized that we're compatible with a relationship. Like, sometimes, like, romance isn't so much like the, oh, I love that person, I'm automatically romantically involved. Sometimes the romance is a slow burn and then just builds up from a friendship going up, you know? Romance isn't always just like, you see that person as a romance first and then, you know, friend second. Sometimes it's the other way around. So, I don't know. That's how I saw it.
You know what? I think you might have totally just turned me around on Garrus romance.
Yes!
Because what you're saying is, like, a really good point, right? Like, because he's not romanceable in Mass Effect 1, is he?
Mm-mm.
Right? So it's not until Mass Effect 2 that you can even start a romance with him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually really interesting. You've had this whole history with him of stopping Saren, et cetera, through the first one, and then the romance kind of starts to begin in two. I actually kind of like that, now that you mention it that way. I have heard people say, you know, like, that's the reason why they like the Garrus romance, is that it is kind of like a friendship romance at the same time. It's like, you are friends and romantic at the same time. I guess that's the draw of Garrus.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you were able to turn me to fire sprites, and I've turned you to the Garrus romance. I was talking with some, this is off the topic now, I was talking with some people about the Dragon Age role-playing game, which I have a little group together online, and we're going to try to play it, so let's see how this goes. But they were mentioning that they heard our episode, and now you also got them on fire sprites, so let's see if we encounter fire sprites.
Fire sprites for the win. You know, it's not a full romance, and I think it's not a full romance for this reason, but Samara is, I think they made the right decision, and that you can kind of get right up to a romance with Samara, but she's, you know, she's taken an oath. She has a dedicated purpose to her life, and she's not going to be involved in a romantic relationship.
You know what? My husband is a complete weirdo, and he played the entire series of Mass Effect without a romance because he felt the exact same way Samara did, that he has taken an oath as a captain, and to start a romantic relationship with one of his crew members is inappropriate. And I was like, one, I don't get you because this is the romance part. That's supposed to be fun. Two, I get it, though, because it's a really interesting point of view. And he actually, obviously didn't flirt with anyone, so he didn't know about it. But I told him about the Samara romance, and he was like, oh, you know, maybe I should just flirt with Samara, because, like, that's exactly what he was doing. And he would, like, I don't know, he really took interest in the Samara romance because of her ideals there, because that's exactly what he was doing. So.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, Vivian, I've come to appreciate Vivian in Dragon Age. Like, my first playthrough, I kind of had the reaction everybody did. Like, oh, God, what a bitch, man. Like, she's just so rude. And
I liked Vivian.
And then, well, you know, once I... Because I really try and get into, like, the mindset of my characters when I'm role-playing. And once I role-played a very sort of Chantry and, I don't know how to explain this, someone who just believed in the established order of things, I really began to appreciate Vivian. Vivian is actually just saying, don't be so damn sentimental. Like, you kind of need the circle. You need the Chantry. You need them for this reason. And let's just, yeah, freedom and all that from ages. I'm a mage. And yeah, maybe you don't want to be overbearing, but let's not be ridiculous. Like, you need some of these established orders. So anyway, I really liked Vivian, even though you can't romance her. But Samara was one where I think that building the friendship with Samara is one of the most rewarding things you can do in Mass Effect. Especially in that final, or one of the last conversations you have with her in the Citadel DLC. It's just very refreshing to have, like, it feels like a close friendship with this, you know, practically 1,000-year-old warrior who's been through everything. And it just feels very rewarding to have sort of been a part of her, this massive life she's had.
I don't remember Samara that well, to be honest. I can't add anything, but it sounds interesting. And that's why you should always get Samara rather than Morinth, because I feel like Morinth would be really boring. And then she kills you if there's a romance. Anyway.
And she's constantly trying to kill you. You can't even talk to Morinth without her being like, hey. And it's just like, wait.
Oh, really?
I'm going to die if that happens. What are you doing?
Serial killers, man. They're crazy. Something that, because we're getting close to time here, something I wanted to talk about that's kind of like a bit random, but it's been on my mind recently, is buy mods for the game. I don't know how much you're into, like, mods for... Well, no, you mod your game a lot.
Yeah, I mod the crap out of everything. If there's a mod, I pretty much install it, yeah.
I don't... Are you active on Tumblr at all?
No, I am not.
So to be honest, I'm not really either, but I have a secret account that nobody knows about. And I don't post anything. It's just to... There's a couple of people that do modding that I want to see their content, so I subscribe to them. But they're not so much now, but when Inquisition was really just starting, because, like, for a while there, they could not figure out how to mod Inquisition. And then when it kind of, like, clicked and people were able to do it, then a whole bunch of Inquisition mods just, like, started coming out of the woodworks. And one of the ones that got really, really, I'm going to say fired upon, was by mods for specifically Dorian and Sarah. Because, you know, like, oh, I want to romance Dorian as a woman. I want to romance Sarah as a man. And people were rightfully upset about that because, one, destroys the entire character arc for Dorian. And it is kind of gross to, like, really push the heterosexuality on someone who has defined so as their whole, like, identity is just being a race. I get that's gross. What I don't get is why they're... I don't want to say I don't get it, but, like, there is not that much outrage over bi mods for straight people. And I get that there is that history there of, like, there was a time when video games didn't have gay romances. And so are individually gay romances. So it's something very treasured to them. And it's something new and exciting. And then here we are, the straights just pounding up on their fun, you know, like, it's
the straights pounding up on their fun. So that is an interesting choice of words.
Yeah, I didn't mean that, but here we are. this post bad choice of words world that I live in. But I understand, like, from a historical standpoint, why more people are age over one or the other. But I think the question I want to ask here isn't so much why are people outraged over one over the other, but should we ethically be outraged over both?
It seems like a double standard. And it's not just that there's a lack of outrage. It's the complete opposite. People heralded the Cassandra bi-mod.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to the comments on the Nexus right now, people talking about how great it is. And you can go to the Nexus right now, and there are still comments saying how offensive it is to have a bi-Sarah mod.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lavishing praise on taking straight characters and making them bi, and then heaping lots of criticism on taking gay characters and making them bi. So it's very interesting to me because it does seem like a double standard. Although, like you said, I can understand the root cause there, but it is interesting.
Yeah, and I was reading, I can't remember what post it was now, so this is really great to do that. But I was reading interesting posts that, like, BioWare has a history of making women who typically, in their words, look like they would be the queer, be straight. You got Morrigan, Cassandra, Jack. There was, I think, Aveline, but technically Aveline isn't even a romance option. Like, women who, like, have that kind of, like, butch mentality to them, or, like, kind of, which I don't think Morrigan is butch, so I don't know why she was bundled up in there. Maybe like that gothic kind of, I don't know. But that they make them straight, and so that a lot of the lesbians in the community or queer people are like, well, I wanted to romance her. This is exactly my type of woman, and then I can't do it. Like, I get the frustration there. And at the same time, is it ethically correct to say, like, be outraged over the Sarah mod, but not the Cassandra mod, you know? I feel like I'm in a weird space because, like, I would feel weird using the Sarah mod, but if I boot up the Cassandra mod, I'd be like, eh, it's not right, but, like, I don't know, I'm not, like, offended by it, but there is that gut reaction to the Sarah mod, and it's almost like, or even, like, the Solus mod that makes him equal opportunity to, I guess you could put race in there, but specifically gender and Cullen, it's this weird, like, historically, homosexuals, they had to, if they wanted to be represented in media, they had to pretend to do it, which is kind of like this mod. They're used to this. This is not new in that community. Versus when straight people are doing it for Sarah and Dorian, it's like you're. I'm going to use the word appropriate, but I feel like that's almost an overreaction to it. Do that sort of thing for them. Like, no, we had to do this. Don't do that. Don't take away what we is rightfully ours now. So I get the outrage. At the same time, I feel like perhaps both is unnecessary. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, I think kind of what you're saying is that for those in the LGBTQ community, it's like, we've had to use mods for a long time to sort of have equal representation in romances, and yet within, let's say, the straight community, if that's the term you want to use, the one or two times you've been limited, it's like you have and have had all these other options for all this time. The one or two times you're limited, you immediately run out and make a mod to get around it. Understandable, but, you know, it's a video game and people like to mod stuff. People mod literally everything that they, you know, there may be a reason from a gameplay standpoint why a weapon does a certain amount of damage, or why an armor is found at this particular portion of the game, and then people go out and break that with mods. They overpower their weapons, and they get a bunch of gear that they shouldn't get way too early. So, yeah, you are kind of breaking the game if you install a bi mod. You probably shouldn't if you want the pure experience of what the designers intended, but that's what mods are about. It's kind of breaking the experience. It's not really the right way to experience it, but, you know, do your vanilla playthrough at least once and then throw a bunch of mods on there and see what happens.
I think you're also touching upon what I eventually wanted to get into, which is great. I don't know anything about the Sarah or the Cassandra, any of the bi-mod makers. I don't know. There's probably a big a chance that it might even be the same person who did both. I don't know for certain. But at the very least, like, this mod probably wasn't made with the mindset of I want to erase the gays. It might have just been like, oh, this thing I accidentally made made Sarah straight. That's kind of interesting. I'll throw it out to the wind. And there really wasn't that implication there that was meant to be. It just kind of is, you know? And I feel like a lot of mods are like that. Like, I was browsing the mods. There's a brand new mod that came out that is specifically a face texture for Dragon Age Inquisition for only female Adar that makes it look like she had just cried. That is so weirdly specific. Like, if that person's listening, it looked lovely. Very awesome. I don't get it. I don't know, like, maybe that's just for whatever purposes they were doing. I don't understand why, like, other people would download it other than for, like, a specific screenshot in one instance. But, like, it was just kind of like, I had this need I wanted to do, and I threw it out to the wind, and now it's published. And I feel like you could also put it in a light of, perhaps now that we are going into a world with the non-binary genders, like, what if you are a trans man, but your body is very feminine looking still, and you kind of wanted to play a character that represented that, and you downloaded the Bidorian mod? Is that bad?
Oh, that's actually, I mean, that raises a whole nother aspect to it up. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, certain things like that, I think it's a good example of why no one should get overly irate about any of this, because you're right. You introduce one wrinkle like that, and all of a sudden it's like, well, now you might be oppressing another group of people who would, from having some form of expression. Yeah, so that's a good point. I take the opinion of, if you're going to install your mods, go ahead and install your mods. I've installed mods that, like I said, pretty much break the game from other aspects, not from the romance aspects, but from other gameplay aspects. But as to the question of whether or not you should use one, I've never used the Sarah Bi mod, never used the Dorian Bi mod. I don't know if there is a Suvi Bi mod. We talked about in our Andromeda episode. I didn't know that Suvi.
There might be.
I wouldn't use those either, and specifically because I think the best example or the best case study of it is Dorian. I mean, there's an entire subplot that relates back to his father, his family, and his sexuality. I mean, how exactly do you headcanon that out of the way if you use it? I mean, I guess you could still say, well, he's bi, his father doesn't accept him being bi or whatever, but I don't know. It just feels like, I like the limitations. In the same way that I'm sitting here brainstorming ways that characters could break up with you in future BioWare games, like, even though that's harsh, it's like, I like the limitations. Even though every now and then I like to install mods that make my character super overpowered, I like survival mode on Fallout 4. I like it when the game's hard. I like it when you have to be creative or just, I don't know, just reckon with the fact that even though it's a video game and it's a power fantasy, you have to face certain limitations. It's like, hey, yeah, on one of my early playthroughs, I was like, yeah, this Sarah chick is cool. Like, I'll romance her. Oh, nope, sorry. Male character can't do that. It's like, okay, well, then roll a female Inquisitor and do it next time. Or just, you know, I like the limitations.
Mm-hmm. Which, quick aside before I go into what I actually wanted to say, how great would it be if someone broke up with you because they realized their sexuality isn't you?
Oh, that would be genius.
That would be good. Anyway, now I have to remember
what I wanted to say. Real quickly, before you run away from that point, because I know we're talking about the bi mods, so let's think about that example. Knowing the BioWare fan base, the community, you know, the climate on Twitter as it is, if you had a straight character and you were, say, for instance, in a male-female romance, and that female NPC party member decides that she's a lesbian and breaks up with you, people would herald that. It would be brilliant. It would be so progressive and diverse. If you were in a same-sex relationship, let's say male to male or female to female, and then that person decides that they're straight and breaks up with you, that would be Armageddon in the BioWare community.
That's true. Or even, you could even say, like, bi, and then turn out, it's like, maybe my female phase was just a phase, you know? Because sometimes that does happen. Like, I for a while there, I did counseling for specifically kids. And there was a lot of teenagers that, like, sometimes they'd be in a relationship with the same sex because that's, like, I don't want to be controversial with this, but it is more popular to be bi right now. It just is. Kind of have that open-mindedness, which is great. I think that's awesome. But you are getting more people going in same-sex relationships and going, huh, this isn't for me, which is okay. I think that's fine. But it would be interesting to see all the backlash behind it, you know?
So. Yeah, so that's a great example. That's another thing. I don't think BioWare or anyone else would ever have the guts to even touch that. But man, how interesting would that be if that ever happened?
It would be really interesting. Real quick before we end the episode, I want to go back to the bi mods real quick. I guess my point with the bi mods, I feel like the bi mod itself is a tool. You can use it like it's kind of hard to say like a hammer is immoral. Like, you know, it's really all how you use it. If you're downloading that mod with the intention of erasing their sexuality, I think that's weird and gross and it's not great. But if you are downloading the mod with the intention of like, listen, I really just like the transgendered thing I mentioned earlier, that could be like a pretty black and white one of like why it's all right. Or you could even with the Cassandra mod saying like, listen, I am just so sick and tired of BioWare, like giving me women I want to do, like what I guess actually that worked out, want to do, want to romance. And I just want something that I'm actually honestly attracted to be the person I romance. Yeah. I can understand that. I get that. Download the mod. Have fun. But I think if you are downloading it with the intention of I gay people in my game, like then it's weird. Then it's weird. Or conversely, straight people in my game, then it's weird.
Yeah.
It's all about the intent, which is why I think that in my overall complaint about Tumblr, they make everything black and white. We're like, I get it. It's a complicated subject and it looks gross. I'm not going to lie. I get it. My first gut reaction was like, ooh, that's weird. Vibe Dorian? Oh, that's weird. But I think if you really get it down to it, I don't think people should ban the mods. I don't think that this is something that needs to be thrown away and you crucify whoever made it. Now, granted, if they had the intention of gays in my game, okay. They have the right to make the mod and put it out, but don't associate with them. That's fine. I get that. So, I don't know, that's just my opinion on the bi mods. Not something I would do, but I can see people downloading it with pure intentions, and, like, that doesn't bother me, you know? I don't think everyone that downloads that mod and works it for whatever reason, for whatever headcanon they have, like, I think there are ways to be in the middle. Which is what the show's about, guys. Hey. Hey. Anyway. So that was our episode on romances.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything. People can find me under the Exalted March on YouTube, and where can folks find you?
You can find me on YouTube, Gilder Thalen, on Twitter, at Gilder Thalen, or you can find me on Reddit, at Gilanon. When I signed up for Reddit, I didn't have the Gilder Thalen thing open yet, so now it's just awkwardly different. So, guys, it was great to talk with you. I don't know why I'm talking to the audience, because we didn't talk. I shouldn't do outros. I'm not good at them. Anyway, I think with that, guys, Darth Sherrill.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.